Welcome to the first ever Reach Junkcast. My name is Garth Nelson, and with me is...
Jen Barr.
We are responsible for ReachMahjong.com, and this podcast is part of ReachMahjong.com, yes.
Yep, it's a new addition to our brand new website.
Very good, very good. Before we get into the website, let's first introduce ourselves, just in case that first little introduction wasn't enough. So let's see, we are members of the Japan Professional Mahjong Association, that's Renmei in Japanese. Pardon?
No, it's the Japan Professional Mahjong League.
That's what I meant, yes, League Association, they're all pretty much the same. We are both in the D2 League at the moment.
When we're talking about the Japan Professional Mahjong League, you're going to hear us call it JPML for short.
JPML. Or if I forget, I might call it Renmei. Or I might even call it an association if I'm too clueless. If you want to get in touch with us, we'll include this at the end too. But our email addresses are Garth, G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com. That's mahjong with M-A-H-J-O-N-G.com. And what's yours again?
And mine is J-E-N-N at reachmahjong.com.
All right, and let's go a little bit over what we hope to accomplish with this podcast.
Yeah.
What sort of subjects are we going to be including?
Well, this is the first one, so today it's going to be a little bit more of an introduction, but we'd like to, you know, cover things going on in the mahjong world. We'd like to go over some strategy tips, you know, things to help you with your game, things to help you get games started, things to help you, you know, find friends to play mahjong with. We'll be talking about online games. Ronron is the game that's endorsed by the JPML, and we'll be talking about our games online there, as well as games that we played in Mahjong Fight Club, the Konami game that we play in game centers here in Japan, as professionals. And we would like to hear your comments and your opinions and know what you want to hear about, and we'd like to talk about those things as well.
Should definitely invite a lot of, we'd like a lot of feedback. We are definitely open to a lot of ideas. All right. Well, since we've introduced ourselves and the podcast, why don't we get right into it then? Let's talk about some recent Mahjong news. What's been going on in the world of Mahjong lately?
As far as Reach Mahjong goes, the first thing is the reopening of reachmahjong.com.
Our new website,
Our new website, which is commonly referred to as one of the best strategy websites for Reach, because we are one of the only ones with regular columns regarding only the Reach rules. We've come up with a brand new design. We have, it's really great. I'm really proud of it.
I do like the new look and everything. It's kind of, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's something that Andy came up with. We teamed together with Andy from Yakitori Online.
Yes, we do have to give Andy a lot of credit for that, don't we?
Yeah. He came up with the design, and I've been working on the content, working on moving all the content over from the old site.
Andy is originally of Yakitori Online.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's become a partner with us.
Yep, he's partnered with us together. Him and I made the Mahjong Mart website, where we sell, it's mahjongmart.com. And that's where we sell tiles, only Reach tile, or only Japanese-style tiles, things that have come from Japan that people outside of Japan are going to want to buy. And now with our new website, you have easy access to both of our partners. There's a tab menu at the top where you can get to the mahjongmart.com online shop and the Yakitori Online bulletin boards.
What can people do on Yakitori Online?
Yakitori Online is a place for, you know, all players to gather. You can post questions. You can post answers to questions. You can come up with, you know, discussions. There's some subjects that people are showing interesting tiles, tile sets that they've found. And there's news items posted as well, and there's an RSS feed from both our website, reachmahjong.com, and mahjongnews.com.
You also said that Andy's going to start writing a blog?
Right. So on our new reachmahjong.com website, Andy is going to become our official blogger.
Wow.
And he's going to be blogging about, you know, games he plays, things that are going on. And it's actually going to take some of the news pressure off of my column so that I can talk more about strategy, and he's going to keep you updated a few times a week about what's going on with our website and with things in the Reach Mahjong world and with our ReachMahjong.com staff, including Gemma and you and myself.
He's also planning on coming to Japan sometime soon, yeah?
Yeah, in the next few months he's going to come to Japan.
it's still in the next few months, not quite decided
yet.
Well,
I think he's decided he's going to go to school, so
okay,
we're waiting for all the details.
And you said also Gemma's going to be having a new column?
Gemma has already started the What Would You Discard column. It's a weekly column updated every Thursday. And there you can come to our website and you can look at the hands and tell your opinion. What would you discard and see what other people would discard and see the reasons for that. And, you know, these exercises really help your own game and when you're thinking about which tiles you're going to discard when you're playing live.
All right. That all sounds very useful. And, of course, as a new feature for part of the website, we will be having these podcasts.
Exactly.
So please look forward to the podcasts every couple weeks or so.
And they will get better.
Yeah. Let's hope so, huh? All right. Well, that's it. So that's our first little piece of news for in our little world. Getting to the Mahjong world, the larger Mahjong world as a whole. The big news would have to be last month's tournament, Oisen.
Right.
And the big news with Oisen would have to be the repeat from last year's winner, Takizawa-kun.
Right. And Taki, as we usually call him for short, he has an interview, an English interview on our website well that you can access. So if you want to know all about Taki, he won last year and he re-won this year.
Yeah, we interviewed him last year as last year's winner, and we may have to do another repeat interview.
Yeah,
it's
quite amazing, actually. I mean, he was seated in, so he didn't come from the very beginning. I mean, maybe you should talk a little bit about how the OE tournament works.
So, yes, this is one of my pet peeves with tournaments in Japan. So the format for tournaments in Japan generally will be there's a qualifying round for amateurs. And the qualifying round for amateurs will be followed by a qualifying round for pros. And then the qualifiers from both the pro and the amateur qualifying rounds will move on to a championship round. But it's not really a championship round. It's sort of like the main round.
Right. And they have the qualifiers and then they have the actual tournament itself.
Right. And then once you get past that first tournament stage, then you have a whole bunch of people coming in who have been seeded in from previous tournaments and it doesn't even have to be like the previous Oisen tournament. It can be people who won like the Champions League tournament or the
Masters tournament,
right? Or Shinjin O, the rookie tournament,
right?
And so this idea of seeding players into the tournament seems to me to be a real, it's fraud. And besides the fact that it's not even true to the word seed as it's usually generally used in tournaments in the West, seeding is usually meant to, you know, to give like an order in which players will be playing against each other. It doesn't mean like a handicap so that the players who have performed well in the past get an automatic bye straight to the finals.
Right, that's true. this is something that happens in many leagues in Japan, not just JPML. Oisen is a JPML tournament.
Right.
And also sometimes it's just based on status, on, you know, what level you are. In Japan we use the dan levels, like the ones similar to the ones that are used in martial arts. And, and all these things can have an effect on how you're seated in as well. So the higher you move up in the league, the easier it is to succeed in these tournaments.
Right. Well, so are you talking about the 10 levels tournament?
That one as well. Uh-huh. And there's some other ones too.
Right. So, especially that tournament. All right. I can understand that tournament because that's the way that tournament is structured.
Okay. So the 10-tier tournament happens once a year. It's a JPML only tournament.
Right.
There's each dan level. So the idea is that the lower dans will try and move up to the higher, or move up to compete against people in the higher dons and or the higher levels. So they'll start out with, they'll first have the first level tournament, and all the first levels will play against each other, and the winners will move up to the second level tournament, and they'll join the second level players and play another tournament, and those players will move up and join the third level players.
Right. So that tournament, I can understand because that's the structure of that tournament, that each tier, the players are getting stronger and stronger.
Right.
But the other tournaments theoretically, everybody is supposed to be starting from zero, and yet, you know, the players who have performed well in the past, they get to start basically at the end.
Right.
And how easy it is to, or how much easier is it to win the race when you're starting the race halfway through?
That's true.
Than players who have to start at the very beginning.
That's true. But regardless, Taki came right. in the final 54, was it?
Right. I think it's 56.
56? Yeah. That'd be a multiple of four.
Right. So yeah, not to take anything away from his accomplishment of having won OE Sen twice in a row.
Right.
But I have to say that in the second time around when he won it, he didn't win against a 1,000-person field like he did the year before.
Right.
He won against a 56-person field, which is, and you know, it was the best 56 players from that group. So he beat a lot of good Mahjong players. But still, it's just, there's a little asterisk. In my mind, there's a little asterisk next to his repeat accomplishment there.
Congratulations to Taki.
Yes, absolutely. Congratulations to Taki. And let's see if he can use all that newfound power he has to change a little bit of the tournament system. Although I'm sure he's not.
And you can play, you know, you can play against Taki as well if you play on Ronron.
Taki plays on Ronron sometimes?
Yeah, sure.
Wow, I had not noticed that.
Yep. There's, you know, a lot of the JPML pros are playing as professionals on Ronron. So if you go ahead and sign up for a Ronron membership, we'll have an English tutorial up this month and the official English tutorial up on reachmahjong.com. And you can join that and play against pros like Taki and us. You won't see us with the pro IDs yet, but that's because we're working behind the scenes for now, and we're just playing as customers. But you can join and play with us and play with everybody on reachmahjong.com as well.
Have you ever played against Taki?
I have at study sessions.
Oh, okay.
But I've never played against him on Ronron yet.
Right. You know, I have to say, in the times that I've matched up against him, I don't think I've ever lost. What's that? You remember your record against him?
No, I don't remember. Perhaps you're the best Mahjong player in the world, Garth.
Well, I'm the best in the OE Sen, apparently. Except that I couldn't make it past the first round when I actually had to play.
So yeah, Garth and I both played in the OE Sen. We played in the pro qualifier. There were actually 2 days of pro qualifiers. We played the first day. The second day we had a big Japan Poker League tournament. So,
so yes.
So we missed
priorities straight. Yes.
The second pro qualifier. Well, you know, we worked it out so that we could participate in both, and we.
Right.
I actually got really close. I got 25 points.
Yeah, you were. I thought you were pretty much going to make it because you got about the same positive score that I got last year, and did manage to make it to the next round.
Okay. Yeah, but it wasn't enough. It was cut off at about 40.
All right. So the way just in case everybody's wondering, the way that qualifier works is after what was it, 4 games or 5 games?
After four.
After 4 games.
No, 5. I think you're right. 5.
I think it was 5, yeah.
Masters was 4.
Right. We play 5 games on that first qualifier day. And they take the, from our group, I think it was the top 40 or the top 45 or so players.
Right.
And so for that day, the cutoff was positive, I think, 39 points.
Really?
Yeah, it was surprisingly high this year. A lot of people did really well. And, you know, one of the reasons I thought that I was going to be able to do well this year is because last year I actually made it by only taking second place every single game.
Wow.
And it's just that in every single game I had positive scores. And so it was enough put together, you know, I think I had plus 25. It was enough to sort of squeak my way into the next round. But this year, yeah, it seemed like people did a lot better. So a little abuse for the mic there. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not very used to the mics. So. Like I said, we'll get better.
Right. But yeah, this year there seemed to be a little bit stiffer competition, at least at the upper end. So let's see. Those are the OE Sen results. That was the big tournament from last year, or for last month. Excuse me. Another tournament that's sort of ongoing for half a year is the Champions League tournament. Have you participated in the Champions League yet this season?
No, I actually haven't yet this year. But the Champions League is a practice league that was made by the JPML to give younger players a chance to play with the top pros.
Right.
I mean, younger professionals that have just started in JPML to play with the top pros. And there are, I think until now, there were 15 sessions per season. Right. We have 2 seasons per year. The second season starts in September and ends in February. And the first season starts in April and ends in August.
Right, right.
The next one starts in October, not in September.
All right, so September is the end of the...
Right, so we have summer vacation in September and summer vacation, right. Or spring vacation in March.
Right.
There's 15 sessions, and you can choose any 5 sessions you would like, and you need to play 5 days. Each day has 4 games that are timed, 50 minutes
right.
each.
Mm-hmm.
And the top... 16?
Top 15.
Top 15.
Go to a final round with the 16th player being the winner from last year's tournament.
Our last season's tournament, okay.
Right, our last season's tournament, right.
So you play the semifinals with the top 16.
Top 16, and then the, that's sort of a championship round. Then the semifinals, I guess, would be two tables, last
okay.
two tables.
So the last
and the
eight
finals
people.
Is, those last 8 people go down to 4 people. And
that's the final table. And the final table takes... A day
right.
or so, right?
I think they may have played 6 games
okay.
for that, I think. I don't quite remember. So last 2 seasons ago, I actually made it to the final round, and that final round of 16, and totally donked out after, God, I had a good first 3 games, and I was pretty much ready to, if I had just held my ground, I would have gone on to the semifinal round. But no, I had to push it a little bit, and whoops.
I remember you had a 7 pairs hand at the end there, right?
I was really close to getting 7 pairs, and it would have been a gigantic hand. If I had thrown supine, or if I had thrown epine instead of supine.
If you had thrown the 1 of dots.
Right, if I had thrown, yeah, excuse me. If I had thrown the 1 of dots instead of the 4 of dots, especially given the fact that there were already 2 fours of dots out, I thought that would be a better bet. But instead, after throwing the 4 of dots, my very next draw was the 4 of dots, and then my final draw was the red dragon, which would have given me the last tile draw. It would have given me a half flush and 7 pairs, and it would have been... Oh, and I think I even had 2 lucky dragons or something. It would have been... Baimon. How do we say Baimon? It would have been a huge hit. It would have been 16,000
points. 16,000 points.
And it would have actually put me into first place for the game. But no, it's all, it would have been. One of those fish that got away stories.
I think Gemma was actually in town watching during that session as
yeah,
well.
That was a fairly large disappointment. and so then, yeah, this year I've only participated in 1 Champions League session so far, and I got the big minus 40. So I'm already starting in a pretty large hole if I'm going to try to crawl back into the round of 16.
Now I'm hoping that I can get in there in January. Tomorrow I'm leaving for Australia, so I won't be able to play in this week's sessions. I'm hoping I can get some sessions in January, February, and make it before the finals. So I guess we'll see how that goes.
Yes, hope to see you there. Hope I finally get somebody I can beat, for the love of God. and let's talk a little bit about another tournament that we went to recently, because a very different format from the tournaments that we were just talking about. Our buddy Kami Murda it works at a mahjong parlor in Takadanobaba, near where I used to live.
Right.
And the name of that parlor is Sentenbo, which means the 1,000-point bone. And it's a really cool tournament. I really like this. It's a free roll.
Right.
How often do you get to go? And you can win $200, risking absolutely nothing. Way to go, Kami Murda and their mahjong parlor.
I think, is he the assistant manager of the shop or the manager?
He's at least the manager, I think.
Okay, he was the assistant manager before. I think he got promoted to manager.
Yeah, he does seem to be generally in charge.
Right, and he's running this tournament. It's something that he came up with for all the regular customers at this mahjong parlor. Right. And he invites Garth and I to come play every time. This is the 3rd time they did it, I think, and it's
right.
the 2nd time
well,
I've participated.
It's the 3rd time either of us have participated. I think it sounded like he said it's the 23rd time, didn't he?
Oh, I misheard, I guess. I thought he said 3rd time.
Oh, really? Maybe I misheard then. Because I really can't speak.
Anyway, did you participated in this? Today was your 3rd one?
I think this is the 3rd time I've participated, yeah, because I did once without you.
Right. So the first one we both played in.
And I think I won 5,000 yen that time.
Right, you got second place or third place?
I got second place, yeah.
And actually, I wrote about that on my column on Jen's Corner. You can check the archive.
But it's a really cool format because it gets people in there, just having fun, and there's a chance to win some money. And then afterwards, it's good for their business too because then everybody's in the parlor. It's, all right, well, let's just sit down and play some more,
Right, and everybody goes ahead and plays cash games afterwards.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about the format of that tournament. So in OSN and whatchamacallit, Champions League, we're playing A rules, the Japan Professional Mahjong League's A rules, which means that there is no instant win.
Yeah, there's no first turn win for your reaches, and there's no hidden doras, lucky dragons underneath the lucky tile.
So the tournament format today offers a little bit more luck factor, I guess, to the players, to those non-pros.
Well, it offers a little bit of a luck factor, and also offers a grounds for more aggression, because people are going to be going for more hands, and so it's a little bit more fun. I mean, there's a little bit less defense played.
Yeah, it does encourage you a little bit more to be going for winning hands at the expense of possibly throwing to somebody else's hand. Let's see, were there any other major points about the way that tournament was run? We played three games, and then after three games, they broke us up into the top half and bottom half.
Right.
The top half going for the major prizes, and the bottom half trying not to have to lose the minus prizes.
Right.
That's another interesting thing I think about this tournament. So it's not quite totally a free roll, because the bottom three players have a little bit of a booby prize, and they actually have to pay a penalty.
Right.
Small penalty for...
It's very small. It's not
it's
something they're
going
to go broke on. But it's an incentive not to get last place, and an incentive for people, even when they're way behind, it's an incentive for them to go for and try and win hands.
That fourth game when you're like, oh, I guess I'm not in it. I might as well just throw to my friends to let them win. It's an incentive to make you still try to play well and take the game. That penalty is only about $5.
Yeah,
$5 and $10 for the last two places.
Right.
How did you do today?
I didn't place well. I didn't do too badly. In the first game, I won two big hands, and I still ended up in third place because I actually threw to a couple of other hands. One guy declared reach on the second tile. And I actually had a lead at that point, but he declared reach at the second tile. I had very little way to read his hand. I ended up throwing a lucky tile, a lucky Dora tile. That was his winning tile. And I was the dealer, so I was going for a win so that I could continue being the dealer. The other thing about this tournament is that you can only continue being the dealer if you win the hand. You can't continue if the hand ends in a draw and your hand is ready or tenpai. You can only continue being the dealer if you actually win the hand as the dealer.
That is a big difference between, say, the tournaments we were just talking about earlier, Champions League and Oisen, and the tournament that we're doing today. It makes it so that as dealer, you don't want to you don't want to just finish your hand ready. You really have to try to win the hand.
Right.
Because if you don't win the hand, then you lose your chance anyway. So it doesn't make any difference if you're ready or not.
Right. In the third game, I actually was matched up against Garth, and I won a couple of big hands off of him.
Yes. For that incentive we were talking about that push to play more offense, that's why I paid those hands.
I'm sure.
It wasn't because I didn't know. I was fairly certain I was throwing your winning tile when I did that. Yes. And so actually, Jen placed kind of in the middle of the field. I placed almost at the bottom, just barely above the booby prizes. Although I had a good start. I think I won my second game, and I was at least in the running going into the third game. But man, third game I did not get anything. Could not put together a hand. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go back to our notes here. All right, so that was Kami Virtus tournament and our results. I forgot to write down who it was that won, but I don't think it's anybody we know, right?
No.
Oh, Nishikawa or something or other, right?
It was one of the regular customers.
The place, which I guess is good for business. All right, and then since today's theme we were thinking was going to be discussing tournaments, one last sort of tournament, but not quite a tournament, is our league play. You want to talk a little bit about how league play works?
All right, well, there's a number of leagues, starting with A1 and going down to D2.
Uh-huh.
All the new players start in D2. Garth and I started there in April of 2006.
Right.
And we're still there.
Yes.
Slowly working our way up. After every 5 months, the top players from each league move up to the next league. And the losing players from each league move down a league.
Right.
So
for all the leagues except for the for A1, the top league.
Right, for the top league.
And A2 actually goes two seasons at a time too, right?
Or right, A1 and A2 last for 1 year each.
Right.
So they have 10 sessions. They have one session each month.
Uh-huh.
And September and March are off months.
Okay.
So the year starts in April and ends in February for all leagues.
Uh-huh.
The league that we play in, the A1 through D2 league, I think almost every pro is playing in that. Every JPML pro is playing in this league, except for last year they made the new women's league as well. And so now the girls have the option if they want to play only in the women's league or if they want to play in the co-ed league and the women's league.
Well, are there women that play in only the women's league without playing in the other league?
Yes, starting last year there are.
Huh, I did not know that. Interesting. Describe the difference in playing style between how you'd play in league play and how you would play in like a tournament?
Well, in a normal tournament, you're going to, start each day fresh. You're going to start with a new score each day. So the goal in the tournament is to get the highest score of the day, whatever day that is. So
right.
You really have to be winning big hands. You really can't be losing big hands.
So you have to just, attack right from the start.
Right. With the league tournament, you're going to carry over your score to the next day.
Uh-huh.
Each month, we have one session, and each session has 4 games. So altogether, you're playing 5 sessions, 4 games each. You're playing 20 games. And this is your total score from 20 games. So, this is really made to lower the luck factor and let real skill come out, because people are going to change the way they play according to how many points they have saved up in the league so far.
So
when you have more points, you're going to be protecting more.
So would you say you play a lot more defense in league play than you do in tournament play?
Actually, the first couple sessions I've been playing really offensively, and I've run up a really great score. I've run up a really high score. I think from now, I'm in D2, there's going to be 14 people moving up to D1 next session.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. I think there's 50-something people in there right now. I'm in 5th place right now, so for the last 2 sessions, I think I'm gonna be playing a little bit more defensively and try not to lose points more than I'm gonna try to win points.
Just hold your position,
right? Because I'd really like to move up to D1, and to me, this is a really great chance, and I don't want to lose this chance this time around.
I am certainly envious of your position. Jen is up there at fifth place, while Garth languishes down in 35th. I started off. Okay in the first session, but then the second session I had a big minus 50 point day, so.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you just can't do anything right.
Yeah, that was definitely one of those days. Pretty much every decision I made was dead wrong. So yeah, that was a killer. So that's pushed me down to 35th, and what you said, there were 14 people moving up?
14 are moving up.
14 are moving up. So it's going to be fairly difficult for me to move up this season, but
well, maybe next season, I won't be in your way, so it'll be easier for you.
Yes, I can always hope. Yes, all those 14 players that jump out, those are the ones that are holding me down. Let's see some other names of note. Kami Murda, our buddy who ran the tournament at Santenbo today, he is in League C3 and is currently in 5th, with 61 points. He is right behind Hisato Sasaki, who is one of the previous winners of the Champions League.
And he also has a book out. He started, I mean, he's only been in the JPML for a couple of years.
Right. He's one of those players that was obviously a really strong Mahjong player before he came in.
Right.
And I think they invited him in and were sort of expecting big things from him right when he
right.
got
he
in.
Right. He does have a book out. It's called Make a Million Yen at Mahjong. He's what he's really famous for is working as a Mahjong parlor employee. And the Mahjong parlor employees in Japan also play as prop players.
Right.
And so, you know, they're playing with their own money. They're playing at the tables when there's not enough customers. And he's famous for, you know, making $100,000, basically, playing in a Mahjong parlor as a prop player.
In, like, a year or two? Like, not that long a period of time.
Right, short amount of time.
And I have to say that is really impressive. Having worked as a Mahjong parlor member in the past, I am really impressed that he was able to make that much money, because it is really hard to actually make money not only while you're gambling your money, but while you have to actually pay the game fee.
Right,
too.
The rake. The rake is quite high in Japan because of the gambling laws.
Right, the gambling laws are there to, I mean, they make the rake prohibitively high just so that you don't, even if you win, you won't actually win any money.
Right.
And so for a player to actually pay the rake and still be able to win money is, it's obviously a very, very strong player. And also, as a member, like, there's just no chance to create any rhythm. Like, you sit down for a game, and then a customer shows up. Okay, you get up. And then another customer goes, and they're, okay, now you have to sit back down again. And then somebody else, oh, and then, like, you start the game, and then another customer comes in. Oh, okay, well, we'll let him take your place anyway. And it's just like, oh, God, you have no chance to get any sort of rhythm going. So definitely kudos to Sasaki for managing to pull off that pretty impressive feat.
Yeah, and Kamimura, who's right behind him, he also came into the JPML at the same time as Garth and I last year, and he's just shot up through the league.
Yeah.
He moved up. I think it took him half a year.
Yeah, he stayed in our league 1 year, but then...
And then after that, he's moved up every time. So he's doing great, and we hope that he moves up again.
Absolutely.
And also, he's going to start writing a column for ReachMahjong.com. He'll write it in Japanese, and I will translate it and put it on our website. We haven't worked out all the details of how much or, I mean, how often he's going to write it, but he will start writing a column for our website, so please read that.
All right. A couple other names of note. Takizawa is currently in 10th place in League A2. He's probably in pretty good shape to hold his position in A2 because only one person is moving down from that league, right? And then in A1, Maihara is the winner from last year. Let's see. He won Masters and... Did he win Masters this year?
He won the 10-tier tournament this year.
Oh, the 10-tier tournament. Okay, that's right. Mm-hmm. And I think he was also number one going into the final...
The league finals last year.
It's
called the Phoenix Cup. It's the Hoi. And it's the finals for league, and only the A1 players are qualified to play for this.
And then for some... I don't know the whole story, but somehow he went down in ignominious defeat. So I guess he's looking to sort of claim that title back this year after...
And he's way ahead of everybody, right?
Yeah, he's killing the field at plus 119 points. The next player down in second has 41, and that is Ishiwatari. And poor Yamada Hiro. He is down there in last place with minus 212.
Wow.
He's definitely... he looks pretty set to jump down to A2 next year. But who knows? You know, there's still, there's still three more sessions.
Right.
Or two more sessions.
And
so.
Maihara and Yamada are also two players that you can play with on a Mahjong Fight Club.
Right.
As well as on Ronron.
And actually, you know, it was funny. I played against Hiro yesterday at the Forget the Year.
At the... Oh, okay.
End of the year party. Man, he doesn't look like he's having a very good year after all. I pretty much killed him in that game, too. In fact, that was the only game I won yesterday. It was the game against him and the other pro. So yeah, those are the current standings in the league as we speak. All right, and I guess that sort of wraps it up for today's program.
All right, any ideas?
Way to go us. Let's see, so next week I think I want to be talking, since I've done so poorly in leagues and this time around, I definitely wanted to pick your brain, get some of your ideas about what you have changed in your play to do so well in league this year, this time around. So that'll be something to look forward to next time.
Yeah, I think so for the podcast for now, we're going to start with once a month and see how it goes. We really want to hear your suggestions.
Yes.
We want to know what you want to hear about Mahjong, and we will cater to it.
Right. And so that means you can reach us at Garth. Once again, my address is Garth, G-A-R-T-H-E, at Mahjong.
At
reachmahjong.com, R-E-A-C-H-M-A-H-J-O-N-G.com. And Jen is?
And mine is Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com.
All right. Hope to see you again next time.
And we'd like to thank Shinya for being our sound engineer today. He was kind enough to loan us his studio?
Yes.
And help us out with the editing. So thank you very much.
All right.